Cancer, without any doubt, is probably, wouldn't you say it's that diagnosis that everybody fears the most? While heart disease kills more people than cancer, by a little edge, and that edge is narrowing all the time, cancer is getting more and more common all the time. But we know enough now that if we will simply do what we know, we can do a lot to make it so that we do not have to hear those terrible words from the doctor, "I think it's cancer." Those are serious words, very terrible words. Have you run out of handouts? Oh, okay. So, as we study this topic this morning, there are a number of things that will help you to understand how to protect yourself against cancer. Notice the first line. It says cancer cells grow slowly over a period of years. And that is true. Once you see a breast cancer, once you feel a brain tumor, once the doctor can discover a positive pap smear, you have already had for years that cancer growing. Even leukemia in cows, we can tell years before we can make the diagnosis of leukemia that the white blood cell count is going up in them. And therefore it makes it more probable that we can eventually make that diagnosis. I'm wondering if we could open both of these doors so that we could get some air inside. And get some circulation. We may be able to open this door over here. No, we'd have an alarm. All right. This will help us some. Now, I'd like to emphasize the fact that cancer cells grow slowly. So, let's say that you already have a cancer. You can slow down its growth now. And the chances are almost 100% that you do have a cancer right now. Probably every one of us, no matter what age, even these children, may have developed a cancer since breakfast this morning. Fortunately, we have an immune system that works so that if a cancer cell does develop, the immune system goes right there and zaps it. We have what is called killer cells. Have you heard of these? Natural killer cells. It always seems strange to me that a God of love had to make killer cells for us. I believe that they'll do something else in the earth made new. Certainly they won't have to do killing, will they? But a God of love made natural killer cells. So when a cell goes wrong in the body and gets out from under law, then getting out from under law is an automatic burglar alarm system in the body, and a message is sent to headquarters saying a crime is going on in such and such a place, in the pancreas, in the breast, in the cervix, in the prostate, or wherever it might be. A criminal is loose, and so the body concentrates its killer cells in that area. Did you know your body could do that before this morning? It concentrates the killer cells in that area and kills them so that you no longer have a cancer. Now, that's for an immune system that functions properly. If we keep our defenses up, we can keep our immune system functioning at a good level. But at least three things are required in order for us to come down with a cancer. One is a virus, another is an injurious agent, and a third is a genetic weakness. To give you an example, the genetic weakness that causes skin cancer is blue-eyed, fair-skinned people. That's the genetic weakness. The second thing is an injurious agent. For cancer of the skin, what is the injurious agent? The sun and exposure, but the sun principally. And the third thing is the virus. Where do we get the virus? Well, by inspiration, we know that animals have the viruses of cancer. That's one place where we could get the cancer, the viruses of cancer. We are told that that cancers are due largely to meat eating. And so the use of any animal products. I hope if you are a meat eater that you won't be after this camp meeting. The time has long since passed when it was safe to eat anything, in my opinion, that comes from the animal kingdom. And we are told that, and I believe it was something like 1900, Ellen White wrote that the time would soon come when there would be no safety in taking anything that comes from the animal kingdom. Well, we passed that time a long time ago, in my opinion, way back in the 1910s. It became too dangerous for us to eat animal products. And certainly by the 1940s, much more problem with animal products. And by 1975, 7 out of 10 egg samples sold in the supermarkets and 7 out of 10 milk samples sold in the supermarket contained viral particles. By 1985, so far as eggs are concerned, it was just about 100% that eggs contain viral particles. So I don't consider that any of these things are safe for us now. You will notice in the second paragraph, a little below the midway, about yogurt. Yogurt and probably cottage cheese, cream cheese, and buttermilk are involved in ovarian cancer. Yogurt was described, and since this report came out saying that yogurt and dairy products were involved, it has been found that galactose, which is present in dairy products, is the culprit, is the injurious agent causing the injury to the ovaries. And the ovaries are injured in the ova. And therefore, in infertility cases, one of the problems is the use of milk products. And some couples who are infertile will have a greater chance of producing children if they stop using dairy products, since the galactose is the thing that injures the ovum. And that's apparently what causes the problem with cancer of the ovaries. In yogurt, cottage cheese, cream cheese, and buttermilk, we have galactose concentrated because the splitting of the lactose, which gives us glucose and galactose, has already been done. It's been done by bacteria, and it is that causes the problem. And while we're on the subject of galactose, you probably are aware that we have known that animals could get cataracts from galactose for more than 50 years. But we only learned just a few years ago, about 10 years ago, that humans also get cataracts from, or can get cataracts from, galactose. And so people who are cataract prone should be very careful to leave off dairy products. Now let's just take some information on what causes people to be cancer prone. And let's look at the cancer proneness profile. One is improper carbohydrate metabolism. Does anybody know exactly what that means in terms of disease? What do we call the disease? The disease that's carbohydrate intolerance. Diabetes. So people who have a problem digesting refined carbohydrates are cancer prone. Therefore, we could say that people with diabetes tend to be more cancer-prone than people who do not have diabetes. Do you understand? Number two, weight, both now and as a teenager. If you were overweight as a teenager, it ups your risk. If you're overweight now, regardless of your age, that ups your risk as well. And so by these two things, we can know that if we are overweight, that increases our risk. Number three, blood sugar levels too high or too low increases the risk. Coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate. If a person takes just one cup of coffee per day, that increases one's risk of getting cancer of the bladder by three times. And for cancer of the ovaries, which is a very serious and increasing disease in women, cancer of the ovaries, two cups per day increases a woman's risk of cancer of the ovaries by 2.2 times. With cancer of the prostate, a big study was done in Loma Linda showing that if a man was overweight, that increased his risk of getting fatal prostate cancer. But there were five other things known to be associated with cancer of the prostate. Overweight, but also a high intake of fats. Number two, overweight or not. And then number two, and these other five things, the consumption of meat, milk, eggs, and cheese. As each one of these was added to a man's program that increased his risk of getting fatal prostate cancer. Now, with coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate, if this were the only thing that were increased from these brown drinks, that would be sufficient to stop our use of them. But in addition to that, in our book called Poison with a Capital C, we talk about a number of other things that are, there is no system of the body, no tissue, no system of the body that is not injured by coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate. That goes from the scalp to the soles. And people who drink coffee are also more likely to get overweight than people who do not drink coffee. People who drink coffee are more likely to get hypertension than those who do not use it. But I think the most damaging thing of all with coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate is that some large studies have shown that people who use these brown drinks have lower professional advancement than do people who don't use them. Now, you will hear it argued by, and generally when I'm on television or radio and I talk about coffee and its relatives, I will get a letter from, I remember one time I got a letter from the National Coffee Drinkers Association. It was the president of the National Coffee Drinkers Association that wrote me, and his letter said something like this. Of course, he was in the official letterhead of the National Coffee Drinkers Association, and his argument was, nothing that you said on television or radio has been proven by medical science. Well, I didn't answer his letter. I just photocopied a number of things from my files from the prestigious medical literature and just mailed that to him. I didn't write to him. I just sent him things. I never did hear from him anymore. We are on firm grounds when we say that coffee drinking is a form of accelerated aging in the body. And I am not at all surprised that Ellen White said to Seventh-day Adventists, it is a sin to be a coffee drinker. Not that it's a sin to ever drink coffee. If you are sick and you take it as a tea for your illness, then I would have no objection. But to be a coffee drinker, you take it every day, that is the big problem for us. Now the next thing is alcohol consumption. Even a small consumption of alcohol, like one or two drinks a week, not a great drinking of alcohol, just a little drinking of alcohol will increase a woman's risk of getting cancer of the breast measurably, so that we can measure the increased risk that she has. Okay, the next one is, how tall are you? The taller you are, past a certain level, for women it's 5'6", and we don't know exactly where it is for men, but for women, if you're above 5'6", that increases your risk of getting cancer of the breast at least, if not some other cancers as well. Did you know that? And I hate to tell you this one, if you are above 140 pounds, that increases your risk of getting cancer of the breast at least, and some other cancers as well. So when I heard this, when I first read this in a medical journal, my 5'9.5" were sitting right up there on all my records. And I also was more than 140 pounds, so I couldn't do anything about the 5'9.5", but I could about the 140 pounds. So I brought my weight down below 140 pounds, and I have felt much better about myself since then. That I have at least done one thing, two things. My weight and my I can't do anything about my height. Age is doing a little, but I don't think that's the thing that's going to help me. Because you will notice here that advancing age is another thing that increases your risk of getting cancer. As we get older, we need to just pay closer attention to all the health laws that we know. Then dairy consumption, breast, ovaries, prostate, and then spices. Spices of all kinds. The more spices in a person's diet, the greater the likelihood they'll get cancer of the stomach or esophagus, and some indication maybe even cancer of the intestinal tract as well. What country of the world do you suppose has the greatest incidence of these cancers, cancer of the esophagus and stomach? Where? No, it's the one that has the greatest spice use. India, they lead the world in these kinds of cancers. Who do you suppose is second? Mexico. Who do you suppose is third? No, it's Korea. It's Korea. Those are the three top. India, Mexico, and Korea. And those are the ones where hot spice use is also at its height. And so we need to, if we have a great love for cayenne, you know, it's a good food. It's high in vitamin C. It has a number of minerals and so forth in it. That doesn't stop it from having nutrients in it. The fact that it's also got capsaicin, which is a cancer-producing agent, do you see? Cinnamon will cause mutations in cells. It has not been shown to be associated with cancer, but anything that causes mutations in chromosomes is, in my opinion, suspect of being a cause of cancer, and I think it's just not been studied enough to know. And I saw your hand a bit ago, and I didn't recognize you. I intended to, and I forgot. Yes, how about decaffeinated drinks, coffee, tea, colas, and so forth? I wish I could tell you that they're all good, but I will have to tell you that the research that has been done on cancer shows that decaffeinated drinks are just as prone to cause cancer as the caffeinated variety, and this points up the fact that there are other injurious substances in these than caffeine. Yes. Statement is made that because of the additives, that it increases your risk of getting cancer. Quite true. The statement was made that because of the additives in these drinks, that was another thing that simply increased your risk. And the studies show that there is actually an increased risk in those taking the. All New Mexicans love chili, and they aren't the only ones. Could not live without chili. That's what I used to think as well. That how could we cook if we didn't have chilies? Yes. I remember when I was a girl in South Georgia, where we have some of the worst health habits of any place in the country. Highest salt use is in Evans County, Georgia, which is only a few miles from the place where I grew up in South Georgia. Evans County, Georgia has more salt use than any other place in the county, in the country. And they have almost as much as Northern Japan, which is that place that has the greatest salt use in the whole world. And we rival them for first place. We also love our spices. When I was a girl, I got my breakfast grits and eggs every morning, and I made them white with one hand shaking, and I made them black with the other hand shaking. And if it weren't hot and like brine, we didn't think that we could even live without that. But I can tell you that you can learn to love things that aren't either highly salted or whatever. Notice the next one, and that is number 10 is all coronary proneness items as well. We'll be studying coronary proneness two sessions down the line, tomorrow morning. Okay, now as we are studying these things, we should constantly bear in mind the fact that we do not own the body. We might think, well, yes, I know that I might increase my risk, but a lot of people do take some of these things and they don't get cancer. Maybe I'm going to be one of those who won't get cancer, and therefore I'll take my chances with that. Well, you might be able to say that, except that the Bible says you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, and that price is not just silver or gold. It's the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we love the Lord, then we will want to do what he says. Isn't that what we're told in John 15? If we love him, we will keep his commandments. And of course, natural law is as mandatory that we keep as is moral law. If we pay no attention to natural law, to the laws of the body, this is an indication of how we would handle any of God's laws. It is an evidence that we do not regard God as being the supreme ruler of the universe. How precious is life? One life is worth more than the whole earth. You could not buy one little human fingernail with the entire earth, can you? And people who get cancer understand that they cannot buy one day of life, not one day of life, for all their wealth. Queen Victoria said, when she was on her deathbed, all my wealth for one more year of life. But she couldn't buy, not even one day nor one minute. We also have a tremendous future because we have been invited to be co-rulers along with Christ, to sit with him in his throne, as he also sits with his Father on his throne. Who has such an exalted future as we have if we show ourselves worthy here in this short probationary period? The only reason for our living is to make one choice, and that is whether we want to live with God through eternity or we want to live for self. That's our only reason for living. We only have to make one choice in this life. And if we make that in the proper way, then our lives can be measured with the life of God. Every thought so carelessly made registers on the heavenly computer. If we say, I know that God does not want me to eat this thing. I know that it's written there that it's a sin to eat this. I know that it's written there that never should this enter the human stomach. But I like it. Your disregard for that is registered in the heavenly computer as a disregard for God's will. We're made in the very image of God, and few appreciate the value of life as we should. What a wonderful thing it is for us to be made in the image of God. I remember when that first came to my awareness. My husband and I were both atheists when we first were introduced to this message, and I remember how awed I was by the knowledge that we were made in the image of God. We were made like him. We were made so that we looked like him and so that we could act like him through his power. Now, let's take some things that will help us to keep the immune system healthy. As we mentioned, the killer cells are quite capable of killing cancer cells as long as they're in the one stage position. When they get to be many trillions of cells, then our killer cells are no longer a match for the cancer cells. And it is then that the doctor will have to tell you that your diagnosis is cancer. But as long as it's a small cancer, our immune systems can put the shackles on the cancer so that it cannot move. It cannot grow. So here are some ways to keep the immune system healthy. Number one, keep your circulatory system excellent. And one way to do that is by keeping your resting pulse below 80. How would you propose to do that? Do you know? By exercise. And I don't know of any disease that will not be benefited by exercise. One time when I said that, somebody said, well, what about congestive heart failure? We tell people not to exercise when they have congestive heart failure. Well, yes, we used to, but doctors who are up to date no longer tell their congestive heart failure patients not to exercise, because the recent medical literature has carried studies that show that even congestive heart failure, where the heart cannot completely contract and empty itself, that even this can be benefited by exercise. The next thing is keep your white blood cells healthy. And how do you do that? Well, we want to keep them below 5,000 as a general rule, certainly 5,500. You came through really, really quickly with the exercise and keeping the pulse rate down. Can you tell me what you can do in just one word to keep your white cell count down? No? One word? Diet. That's the word I'm looking for. Diet. Now, what kind of diet? Well, the most favorable diet for the immune system, whether you have cancer or almost any other disease, is a totally vegetarian diet. No meat, milk, eggs, or cheese. We handle things the most favorably if we are totally vegetarian. And that's the kind of diet that the Lord put Adam and Eve on in the beginning. And the diet that the Lord chose for us in the beginning is the diet that he wants us to have in the end of time too, isn't it? And so if we are truly expecting the end of all things soon, it would be a declaration of that faith if we became vegetarians in the same way that Adam and Eve were. Yes? In nursing class a few years ago?
One of the teachers
said, if you have low cholesterol below 100, it increases your risk of getting cancer. And there is research that indicates that. And the thing that seems to be operative here is that when cancers start working in the body, that pulls cholesterol, but does not increase a stimulation to produce cholesterol. And so it is an evidence of cancer, not a cause of. So still the best knowledge that we have published in the medical literature today is that the lower the cholesterol, the lower your risk for getting cancer, all other things being equal. All right, the next thing is keep your blood cleansed by drinking plenty of water. And what is your key for that? What is the index for that? It is the color of the urine. So when the urine is entirely, if it is entirely colorless, you're drinking too much water and you're washing out your B vitamins, or you aren't getting enough B vitamins, because B vitamins are slightly yellowish And the urine should be slightly yellowish if you're getting enough, if you're not drinking too much water and you're getting enough B vitamins. So drink until the urine is pale, but not totally colorless. Study yourself. Study your needs on this matter. Some people need 6 glasses of water a day. Now, what about little old ladies? Little old dried up ladies that get sort of prune looking. We don't need very much, do we? Oh, you think we do? Yes, we do. And as a matter of fact, as we get older, we actually need more water. Because the skin is thinner, it loses more water. We tend to be less efficient with the kidneys and produce a little bit more. What can you substitute for water? Can you substitute juice? Really nothing. Really nothing. What if you don't have an appetite for water and you drink a thimbleful and you don't feel good? Then what you need to do is to increase your appetite. And there are ways that you can do that. You can increase your appetite for water by making herb tea. And get some kind of nice tea, such as mint tea. One of my favorites is lemon mint. Lemon mint. I love lemon mint. It's a Jamaican tea that I was introduced to a number of years ago, and it's still my favorite. But there are some others that are really good. So find some herbal teas. That will help you. And then you will also find that if your appetite is not very great for water, drinking water will increase your appetite for water. So if you drink the thimbleful, next morning maybe you could drink 2 thimblesful. And the next morning 3 thimblesful. Until finally you've increased your appetite for water so that you can drink a normal amount. Now let's say that a woman is well past menopause and she's a little prune looking. How much water do you think she should take for myself? How much would you think that I would take? I would say don't stop until you've got 10. That's what I need. If I get less than 10 in a day, then I will usually feel a little fatigue and weakness. I may get a little backache. Did you know that a backache could be due to not drinking enough water? Did you know that a little headache can? I never get a headache, I'm thankful, but a headache can also be constipation, gas, allergies. Your allergies may increase more if you don't drink enough water. So it's important for you to keep your immune system healthy by drinking plenty of water. Now, every time you... I'll come to you very next one. Don't let me forget you. Every time you talk for an hour, you need another 8-ounce glass of water. If you sweat, you need another 8-ounce glass of water for every hour that you have a mild sweat. If you're really pouring off the sweat, you need a lot more, you see. And so this can help you to know how much water you need to take in a day. If you talk on the telephone and your friend is, she's going to talk 2 hours, get yourself 2 glasses of water before you sit down to talk with her. You'll know whether she's a 1-glass friend or a 2-glass friend. And it's important that we stay well hydrated because we cannot stay healthy, we cannot keep the immune system healthy unless we drink enough water. I'll take one more question and then would you write your questions down after this and let me get through all the rest of the material and then I'll take questions generally. We'll take yours now. What about the quality of water? What do you think? What should describe healthful water? Pure and soft. Pure, soft water. Now, if you do not know whether your water system is pure and soft, I can give you an 800 number where you can get free advice. Or once could, I think you still can. It's 1-800-TAKE-CARE. Free advice. This is not a governmental agency. It's a man who has made himself knowledgeable about, he's a benevolent man, uses his funds to help people to know about water systems. He does not sell water systems, but he can tell you what is likely to be wrong with your water depending on what city you live in. And if I were dependent on a city water supply, we have a well for our water, pure soft water. I'm so thankful for that. But if I were dependent on a city water supply, I would get a water purification device for my own home, because you should not drink all the chemicals that are in water on a regular basis. Now, here at camp meeting, we may not have any other kind of water available. It won't harm you irreparably to drink it for a few days, but you should not drink impure water on a long-term basis. And it's not germs anymore that are our problem with water. It's those things that have been added to water to take care of the germs. Our water is free from germs, mainly. Very good question. Thank you so much for that. Now let's go to the rest of things. Systems made strong by being regular. Regular in all your habits. Heaven is characterized by regularity. The life of the Christian should be characterized by regularity. I think I struggle with that one more than any other single health problem. It's a problem to get to bed on time. It's a problem to eat your meals on time, to get the exercise on time, to do your studying on time. These are all problems, especially if you're in a kind of profession that is a service profession, where people can call or come and people get sick in the night and you have to attend them. So it's always a struggle to be regular, but our Heavenly Father wants us to be regular. And so, if we love Him, we will want to do His will. Then exercise daily to the point of sweating. Keep your extremities always warm. There are many diseases that are more likely to occur if your extremities are chilled. Cystitis in both men and women. We think that one of the reasons why little boys have more cystitis, that's an infection or an inflammation of the bladder, urinary bladder, is because they are outside more and more likely to get their feet wet and more likely to have chilled feet. And then the German doctors speak of women's cystitis as cold foot cystitis, because women are born with cold feet and they keep them all their life, don't they? Well, they don't have to. I used to think that was the case, but we can learn how to keep the extremities warm. Principally, clothing the thighs and clothing the arms properly that will give you, the upper arms that will give you warm forearms and legs and feet. Then moderate sunning, but I'm not one to sun with this fad of today where people enter a solarium and remove all the clothing. This is not the way that it was done in Kellogg's day. They had big solariums, and they would have a solarium as big as this room, maybe, and people lying on chaise longues all over the place, men and women, fully clothed, sunning in the solarium. They didn't unclothe in those days. In the days that Ellen White told us about moderate sunning. Early in the day and late in the day is the best sunning for your skin. If you have a sun in the mid portion of the day, it actually weakens the immune system. Now, I hope you'll understand that point, that midday sun can actually make you more susceptible to disease. Now, here is another thing. These have to do with mental things. Keep your mind free from heavy loads. What is the heaviest load that a human being can carry? Guilt. And a number of other things. Jealousy. Discontent. Learn to be contented with everything. If you express any discontented thought while you're here at camp meeting, pour a strong acid on it. Don't let yourself have a discontented thought. If you've got something that's wrong, try to get rid of that thing that's wrong, but not in a complaining, critical way. Do you understand how the difference between, it's not wrong to try to make things comfortable for yourself, but it can be wrong to be discontented. Then keep your spirits elevated. This you do through prayer, Bible study, association with God's people. And we're told that contentment with what? Yes, it brings great peace. Shape your attitudes by truth. This is education and prayer and social discourse and keeping up with advancing knowledge. And some very good studies, intricately done, show that people who know the truth tend to have a healthier immune system than people who do not know the truth. I think this may be one reason, in my opinion, why Seventh-day Adventists tend to outlive others, and not just because of our health, our helpful lifestyles. Now, another thing that has to do with the mind is creative expression. Again, some very elaborate studies have been done showing that people can have a healthier immune system if they have some creative expression every day. Things like writing and music and painting and lecturing and taking care of small children or doing charitable works. All of these kinds of things are very important in keeping the immune system healthy. And, of course, these things are very biblical. The Lord tells us that these things will help us. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Yes, and the Lord wants us to understand that point. Now, again, if you will take the handout that you've been given, and let's take a number of other things that you need to know. The next thing is the third paragraph on the first page, and I'd like you to look at the third line. Estrogen is an internally produced carcinogen. Not all types of estrogen and not all quantities, but excessive quantities of estradiol, which is one of the three principal forms of estrogens. This is a cancer-producing agent. So, if we take external estrogens, or if we overproduce estrogens, this can cause a problem for us. Now, do you have any control over how much estrogen you produce, men or women? Yes, you do. Both men and women produce more estrogens if they eat a lot of free fats. What are free fats? Margarine, butter, mayonnaise, fried foods, cooking fats, peanut butter, all of these are free fats, and that can cause a problem for us. Bile acids, which are produced in the liver, are internally produced cancer-producing agents. Bile increases one's risk of getting cancer of the colon. Cancer of the colon is our second most common cancer in the United States. We need to learn how to protect ourselves against cancer of the colon. We need to learn risks, things that are risk factors for us with cancer of the colon. And bile is increased in quantity by the fats that we use. The more fats we use, the more bile we produce. The more fats we use, the more estrogens we produce. Yes. What if you use olive oil instead? I wish I could tell you that that makes it, that olive oil is scot-free. I will have to tell you that olive oil is one of the best oils for the heart. But here we're talking about cancer. And it's the total quantity of free fats, any kind. Even medicinal types of fats, like flaxseed oil or evening primrose oil. If we took enough of that, that too would act as a cancer-producing agent. The more rancid a fat is, the greater its likelihood of causing a problem for you. Therefore, if any product has been ground, like the making of flour, the older it is, the more likely it is that the fat will be rancid. Whole wheat can get rancid. In fact, it goes rancid even more rapidly than white because it has more fat in it. Therefore, do your shopping for flours not from a place that you want to patronize because it doesn't have much turnover of food. Go to the place where they have the greatest turnover of food. in those places, in those grocery stores where they have a constant turnover of flowers, you're the most likely to get a good quality of fresh flowers. Now, let's take another thing that's really serious, and that's the use of drugs. There are many drugs known to be associated with an increased risk of getting cancer. We mention a few here, but there are many others besides these. And therefore, if there is any possible way, when we are sick, we should learn how to treat the body without using medicines, as we have here in Desire of Ages, on pages, in the Standard Version, it's pages 824 and 825, and beginning here with just with a quote from Exodus 15:26, where we are told, if we will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, diligently hearken. That's important for us to know, that we must diligently hearken. We know something, but we don't do it. Isn't it true that most of us know better than we do? But we need to diligently hearken and do all that's the will of the Lord. So the Lord, Christ gave to Israel definite instruction in regard to their habits of life, and he assured them, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. When they fulfilled the conditions, the promise was verified to them. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Isn't that nice to hear? Not one person in all their tribes. And there were at least 1.5 million people, not a sick person among them. There's hardly a household now that there's not somebody sick in it. These lessons are for us. There are conditions to be observed by all who would preserve health. All should learn what these conditions are. The Lord is not pleased with ignorance in regard to his laws, either natural or spiritual. We should teach others how to preserve and to recover health. For the sick, we should use the remedies which God has provided in nature. So this is important for us. We stay well by the application of the 8 natural laws of health. We treat sickness by using the remedies that nature provides. And remedies are different for us than the laws of health. Some of the remedies do utilize the 8 natural laws of health, but we must recognize that there are some remedies that are not the 8 natural laws of health, like the use of maybe some herbal remedies. All right, let's go on to the... Remember your questions. There are 2 or 3 of you who have had questions right here, but remember your questions. Write them down. Let's go to general cancer risks, and I'd like to point out just a few of these. Notice vitamin 6, mega doses of certain vitamins. Number 5, item 5, mega doses. Number 6, the habit of overeating. That is associated with at least 35% of all cancers. In fact, if we had to say what you could do best to lower your risk for cancer, we might have to say that it was don't eat too much. Then notice a number of these. Number 11, diabetes and insulin resistance. I'll be talking about that a little bit later. You need to know what insulin resistance is. You may say, well, I don't have diabetes. My blood sugar is always in normal range. It may be in normal range, but even if it is, you may still have too much insulin. There are some signs of too much insulin, and we will help you to know what those signs are. Then number 13, a high transit time through the colon. You can check your own. Just 2 tablespoons full of moistened sesame seeds, swallow those, and see how long it takes you to eliminate them all in the stool. Then you can take a look at all of these other items and read them. Take a look at the ones that cause cancer, and then take a look at those that cause breast cancer. Now, who has questions? Would you raise your hands if you have a question? I'll give you a number. Number 1, remember your number. Number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. Anyone else? Number 6, okay. We have 6 minutes, so I can't spend more than a minute on each question. Question number 1. It's instead of eating meat? We could use beans, and can we do that? And the answer is yes, indeed. Beans are a good substitute for meat. Yes.
Drain that water, then boil it again for consumption.
Okay. Okay, the question is, are beans toxic? And the answer is yes, they are toxic if they are not boiled enough. But you do not have to drain the cooking water because the toxic substance is deactivated by the boiling process. It takes at least 15 minutes for that substance to be deactivated. But then it is no longer poisonous for us, and so we could take it.
So you don't have to drain the water.
No, you don't have to. Don't have to drain the water.
Okay.
You just be sure you cook any kind of bean for at least 15 minutes, and most of us will do that because the beans aren't done until they've been cooked longer than 15 minutes.
But you say the high water. You see, you have to put it on a very hot plate to make that constant 15-minute boiling. Then we do.
You can simmer it, and it will do fine. Oh yes, it will even do in a slow cooker. It will detoxify all of the toxic substance. Now here is another point with beans. You will find that they are more digestible if you will cook them many, many, many hours. And grains require many hours before they are ready for you to eat. Like many hours is like 3 hours for any grain. Maybe millet might be an exception, 2.5 hours, but all the other grains require a lot of time. We have a counseling sheet called Grains for anybody who would like to have it, and let me tell you how to get it. If you will send $1 and a self-addressed stamped envelope to me and ask for our counseling topic on grains, I'll be happy to send you that for yourself. Now, my address is simply just my name and 30 Yuchi Pines Road, number 40, Seal, Alabama, 36875. And I'll write that down for you so that you can get it later. Now, question number 2. Yes. Okay.
And this one of my questions on beans. I'd always been told that beans are anything that you sprout for 3 days.
Yes.
Increases the nutrient value by 3 months.
Increase sprouting does increase the nutrient value.
And also makes them a simple carbohydrate.
Makes them a simple carbohydrate easier to digest, and that is true. Olive, put it in something after it's been cooked, don't use it, don't cook it, put it in afterward. I like that thought too, that you put the, put any kind of oil in afterward, because sitting at your table may be several people who need the oil, but you may be sitting there not needing the oil. If it's put in at cooking, there's no way to avoid it. And so people who are a little overweight, they're going to get the oil anyway. People who are cancer prone, they're going to get the oil anyway. But here's a little bean pole sticking up there who can hardly has enough weight to stand erect, needs a little fat, and maybe even be losing a little weight. They need to have a little fat, maybe. Okay, question number 3. Question is, was it right about hormones that they can increase your risk of getting cancer? Is that your question? Centers for Disease Control, the largest and the most authoritative voice on disease in the world today, says, or put out a big directive about 2 or 3 years ago, saying that if a woman takes hormones, female hormones, for just 5 years, that measurably increases her risk of getting cancer of the breast. If she takes female hormones for 15 years, that increases her risk of getting cancer of the breast by 30 to 35%. That's an enormous increase added to our already high increase, our already high risk of getting cancer of the breast. Question number four. Number four? Have your gallbladder out? There is a constant flow of bile. Still flowing. In fact, it's flowing constantly. And therefore, people who have the gallbladder out do have a slightly increased risk of cancer of the colon because of the constant flow of bile through the colon. One of the good reasons not to have gallbladder disease. How do you avoid gallbladder disease? Well, first, when I was in medical school, we had four ways that we could make the diagnosis of gallbladder disease in a person who had pain in the right upper quadrant of the abdomen. Female, fair-skinned, fat, and 40. Female, fair, fat, and 40. The four F's. Well, we no longer say female because males have it too. We no longer say 40 because we now even find it in teenagers and even those who are under 10, if they're overweight, they may get cancer. They may get gallbladder disease. So don't get gallbladder disease. And if you do have to have your gallbladder taken out, then learn other ways to protect yourself from getting cancer of the colon. And if you have gallbladder disease, if you'll send a dollar and a self-addressed stamped envelope to us and ask for our counseling sheet on the gallbladder, we'll be happy to send it to you. And even though you may have stones, you may be able to avoid an operation. Question number five. Yes. Good question. How can a woman keep her sanity and stay functioning who is going through the menopause and not take estrogens? Easy. You may have to work at it, but we have a counseling sheet, several sheets. So if you write to me, send a dollar and a self-addressed envelope, you know how to get the handout. We'll be happy to send it to you. By the way, if you just ask for menopause. Menopause routine, and we'll be happy to send it to you. And if you're writing for many, you don't have to send a dollar for each one. Just if you ask for 15 or 20, use your own discretion. We'll be happy to. It does cost, as you know, to duplicate these and also to get somebody to handle your request. Question number six. Can DMSO be used straight? So far as we know, it is safe, although there have been reported in some people attacks on the liver from using a lot of DMSO over a large area of the body. To give you an example, there was one person reported who had a cancer of the soft tissue of a leg. Had a lot of pain in it. But DMSO, if it were spread on the whole quadrant of the body, buttocks and thigh and leg and foot, it would control her pain to a large degree. And so that several times a day, they would rub, some member of her family would rub the DMSO on her leg. And she did get some liver damage. But that was a large part of the body. And the liver damage was not bad, and when they stopped using it, she did get much better, but she did have to go on narcotics then. I've enjoyed presenting this material to you this afternoon. We'll talk more about how to stay healthy. And you need one more
question.
Let me dismiss everybody, and then I will take one or two, but I want everybody to go to the morning meeting. We don't want to miss Pastor Wolkowitz, and so I want you to be sure to be there. Let's bow and have a prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much for your tender mercies toward us. Even though we have not done as well as we know to do, You have forgiven us. You have sustained us. You have encouraged us with your love. And now I pray that we might do our part in obeying all the laws of health. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.